Okay, so today we're diving into something that I think we can all relate to, at least to some degree, privacy. When does sharing information like stuff about you actually cross that line, that legal line?
Yeah, and it feels like a topic that's just become more and more relevant as time has gone on.
Absolutely. I mean, think about how much is out there about all of us, right? So we're going to break down this case, Botta versus Lakeville Motor Express. A Minnesota Supreme Court case that really digs into this whole question.
Yeah, and I think it's a good one to look at because it makes you stop and think about what public really means, legally speaking, because it might not be as straightforward as you think.
I think that's a great point. So
Yeah.
let me just kind of lay out the basics here. Lakeville Motor Express, we'll just call them LME,
Makes it easier.
much easier. So LME, they faxed a list with the names and social security numbers, yeah, those 9 digits, of 204 of their employees to 16 of their terminal managers in 6 different states. Now, the employees sued, saying, hey, this is an invasion of our privacy. And you can see why they'd feel that way, right? But 16 managers, I mean, is that really public? That's what we're going to figure out.
It is. And I think just to kind of set the stage here, we need to talk about this idea of the tort of publication of private facts.
Okay, yeah, because that's what this whole case is built on.
Right. So a tort, just to back up for a sec, is basically like a civil wrong that you can sue someone over.
So, like if someone spills coffee on you and it burns you, right? That could be tort.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And in this case, for this specific tort to actually fly in Minnesota, you have to prove 4 things. The information has to be private. There needs to be publicity, not just sharing it with anyone, which is really important here. It also has to be something that a reasonable person would find offensive, and there can't be some big public interest or concern about the information.
Okay, so 4 boxes to check off. And you're highlighting publicity there. That's the one we're going to really get into, right? Because it's not just about someone seeing this information, it's about something more.
Exactly. And it's a different standard than something like defamation, where if someone says something bad about you to like even just one other person, that can be enough. Here, it's got to be bigger than that.
Okay, so it's not just sending your roommate a text with someone's address or something. It's a wider net.
Right. So how do we actually define this word publicity in the eyes of the law? Well, the Minnesota Supreme Court went straight to the restatement second of torts, specifically section 652.
Okay, the restatement, for those who might not be super familiar, is basically like a really influential guidebook for certain areas of the law. It pulls together these common legal principles.
Yeah, it's not law itself, but courts often look to it to kind of see how things have been interpreted generally.
Gotcha. So what does the restatement have to say about publicity? What's the definition?
It says publicity is communication to the public at large or so many persons that the matter must be regarded as substantially certain to become public knowledge.
Substantially certain to become public knowledge. That's pretty specific. And probably harder to prove than just showing someone told a few people
Well,
something.
for sure.
Okay, well, keeping that definition in mind, let's go back to LME and this whole fax situation.
Right.
Remind us what exactly went down with this employee data.
All right, so LME, they faxed this list, remember, with names and social security numbers of 204 employees to 16 terminal managers in 6 states. Now, they said they do it for accident record keeping. It's not like it was posted online, for everyone to see. It was sent to a specific group of people.
Right, so this was internal, but those employees still felt it was a major overstep, especially considering we're talking social security numbers. And that's what led to the lawsuit. Now, it's interesting, the first court, the district court, actually dismissed the case.
Yeah, they essentially said that sending it to these 16 managers, given their job duties, didn't actually meet the legal definition of publicity we just talked about.
Which, I mean, makes sense when you think about the restatement definition, right? It's not like it was sent to everyone in the company or plastered on a billboard.
Right, but the employees, they didn't give up. They appealed, and the Court of Appeals actually reversed that decision, saying, hold on, their claims might actually fit the definition, and the case should move forward.
So round two goes to the employees. But then it went all the way to the top, the Minnesota Supreme Court, and they ended up siding with the trucking company. What was their reasoning? Why did they say these 16 managers didn't qualify as the public?
Well, they were very much focused on that restatement definition. They said, look, this was a disclosure to a pretty small group of people, these 16 managers. And the company said they needed this information for their jobs, for accident record keeping. So it wasn't just random
It
gossiping.
had a business purpose, even though it was internal.
Right. And on top of that, there wasn't any evidence that these managers went and blabbed to anyone else. the employees were basically saying, well, it could become public, but they didn't show that it actually did or that it was like guaranteed to happen.
Right. And that's where that substantially certain part of the definition comes into play, right? Like it wasn't just a possibility. It had to be almost a sure thing that it would become widespread knowledge.
Exactly. And to illustrate their point, they even compared it to a company sharing data internally between different departments. Like that's just part of how a business operates.
Okay, so it's not about making things secret. It's about keeping them within the circle of people who need to know for legitimate reasons.
That's a good way to put it.
But here's the thing that I keep thinking about. We're talking about Social Security numbers. That's not just some random piece of information. It's super sensitive. It's like the key to your identity in a lot of ways. And the risk of identity theft is huge.
Right.
Did the court take that into account at all when they were deciding if this was publicity under the law?
You know, that's a super valid point. And I'm sure that was a big part of the employee's argument. They probably said, look, this information is so sensitive, the bar for what counts as publicity should be lower.
Yeah, like the stakes are higher, so it shouldn't have to be shared with as many people for it to be a problem.
Right. But the court actually rejected that. They basically said, we're sticking to the restatement definition, and that definition is all about how widely the information was shared, not how sensitive it is.
So they separated those two issues, the scope of the sharing versus the nature of the information.
Yeah. And they actually said that the sensitivity of the information, like the fact that it was Social Security numbers, is dealt with under a different element of the tort, the offensiveness element.
Interesting. So you could have something really offensive that isn't widely shared and still have a case. But if it isn't shared widely enough, it doesn't matter how sensitive it is.
Exactly.
Okay, so even though the employees lost this case, it sounds like this whole issue of what publicity means legally is pretty complex.
Oh, definitely. And I think it raises a lot of questions about how these kinds of laws will adapt as technology changes and our understanding of data privacy evolves. This ruling was back in 2003. Think about how different things are now. We're way more aware of data breaches and identity theft and all that.
Yeah, and social media has exploded and everyone's sharing everything all the time. It makes you wonder if that restatement definition still really captures what public means in our digital world.
It's a good question. So keep in mind, this case was specifically about this one tort, this publication of private facts. There might be other legal options out there depending on the situation, like data privacy statutes.
So there might be other laws that could help protect people even if this particular tort doesn't apply.
Right. And it's also important to remember that this case was decided at a very early stage on a motion to dismiss. That basically means the court looked at the employee's claims and said, even if everything you're saying is true, it still doesn't meet the requirements for this specific kind of privacy claim in Minnesota.
So they weren't saying the employees were wrong about what happened. They were saying the law didn't cover that specific situation.
Right. It's a subtle but important difference.
So to wrap this all up, the key takeaway from the Boda case is that the claim publication of private facts in Minnesota, you've got to show the information was shared really broadly to the public at large, or in a way that was almost guaranteed to become public. Sharing it with 16 managers for a work reason, at least according to the Minnesota Supreme Court, didn't meet that bar.
That's a perfect summary. They really stuck to that strict definition of publicity.
All right, so here's something to chew on as we all head back out into the world constantly sharing information. Does that traditional definition of publicity, which, let's be real, was written before smartphones and social media even existed, does it really hold up in our digital world where things can spread like wildfire online? It's something to think about as we try to navigate privacy in this day and age. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.